I trust that you all are well. And you're going to praise the Lord with me. Okay. Again, I greet you in the precious name of Jesus. And we want to thank God that He had given us this opportunity to be together again. Yes, at the same time, I want to just welcome all visitors. Susan's mom and dad. And then our dear brother Ralph. Is there some more? Oh, some more is coming. It's getting packed up now. Okay, we thank God. Yes, praise the Lord. Okay, shall we all stand together? We bow our heads in prayer. Father, this morning, we only want to say thank you. Lord, you know, we can say so many, put so many words, but one word is enough. Thank you. Because, Lord, you are our God, our Father. You are everything for us. And we want to lay our lives on the altar this morning. We want to say, Lord, take your place, be glorified, and have your way in and through our lives. Holy Spirit, come. We invite you. Though you're inside of us, our helper, but we invite you. We give the service back to you now. Move in your own special way. In Jesus' name, bless us all together in the name of Jesus. And may we rejoice and be glad at this time, not only now, but through the day too. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. We're going to start singing now our first medley song. I will enter his gates. You can clap if you want to. You can swing along. That's all up to you. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He's the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, he is the King. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think what he's done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. You may be seated. You did very well. Okay, I'm going to give an opportunity. If there is anybody that wants to give thanks to the Lord or want to, whatever is in your heart, God has done great things, so it's your time.
Good morning, everyone. How are you all? Good. Wonderful to see you here this morning. So what we have during this part of the service is an opportunity to give a testimony, to share something encouraging positive, something that's happened to you, or something that you want to give God thanks about, or give God thanks for. So please use this opportunity to share. It's not, if you want to give a teaching, this is not the time. So I don't want long, short, brief, encouraging, not sermons, encouraging words. Please, and I want everybody. So even if you're here for the first time, you're welcome to share something. But all I ask is that you keep it short, that you keep it encouraging, that you share something that that you've experienced that gives God, that praises God and encourages the congregation.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, some sad news, but gratitude with it. A few months ago, our daughter from England bought us through Take A Lot a smart TV. A few months ago, our daughter from England bought us a smart TV, and we've had a great joy watching a variety of things through that. And I did mention on the 15th we celebrated our wedding anniversary, 47th wedding anniversary. But while we're celebrating, we also got some very bad news. My nephew from Durban died suddenly at 58 years old. And we were fairly close. Certainly, I'd written a life story of my grandparents, his great-grandparents, and my parents. So he was part of the family, and he appreciated that very much. He valued that very high. And we were in fairly regular contact. So it's really... hit me, but yesterday we could follow the memorial service, and I could just key in through YouTube and watch it on the smart TV. So I'd just like to thank the Lord for all these blessings, and may Reinhold Walter Berger rest in peace.
Good morning to everyone. I just want to thank God for what he has done for me and my family. I want to sing one song to glorify his living name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we love you. We lay our lives before you. If you know how to sing, please sing and support us. Jesus, we love you. We lay our lives before you. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Someone may not understand why I'm singing. Yes, but the Bible says, use your soul, your spirit, your voice to remember him in your youthful day. Amen. Because a day will come, you can't sing like this. A day will come, you can't clap, you can't dance. That is why since January, we started with so many people. And by his grace, not by your might, your strength, your wisdom, the money you have, but by his grace, you and I, we are still alive. You have to use everything you have, everything within you, to say thank you, Jesus, for making this day possible for you, for me, for my family. And we pray that he usher us into the year 2025. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, when I saw you people coming in, it's such a joy, it's a pleasure, and that is why, you know, it something just comes up. It's a welcome year, it's a welcome year, it's a Christian welcome year. It's a welcome year, it's a welcome year, it's a Christian welcome year. We want everybody to be happy, we want everybody to be glad, we want everybody to be happy in the Lord, and we don't want anybody sad. So don't be sad, you get a chance. Okay, praise the Lord, welcome. Oh, I'm excited. You know why? Because, you know, every time we testify what the Lord has done, yes, and about ourselves, but I supposed to bring this across long time. You know, I heard something about somebody mentioned you must take care of your dogs and all that, you know. And then it was now a few months ago, we had two dogs. One got very ill and that one passed on. The other one, it's like he was getting now into his own way, like sad. And I couldn't understand. So when I went to the school to pray, I met up with somebody and that person were talking about the dogs. And then I explained to her. Then they said, no, he's missing his friend, his other partner. I couldn't understand it. So I was looking, you know, we always say, go to the back, or go, you know. But what happened? I started to pray. I poured the oil. My brother gave vitamin tablets, but I prayed. And then people came to visit my mom to check on her. And then suddenly, I told them, carry on. I wait for the one that must still come in. Then I heard, but it didn't dawn on me. Here the dog is barking. Imagine, he barked. He never barked for how long, but he started to bark. And then it went on and on and on. But I want to thank God that it was God. He still answers prayer, whether it is a dog or a cat or a person. He answers prayer because we call upon him from our heart and ask him for a miracle, because we need to take care of our animals too, isn't it? Amen. God bless.
I heard I need to encourage someone. You, lift up your left hand. I've just been through that 8 weeks later. So take heart. God is good. It's all, but it will fix itself. Okay.
Amen. We're going to stand again together and sing. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Our next song is, Thank You for the Cross, Lord. It happened all day. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Take up the love offering. For all you have done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are. All that has carried me through, Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you, thank you, Lord. And I thank you, thank you.
No help this morning. Next time. Lord, we thank you that we can show our gratitude towards you, towards what you are doing. Lord, we ask that you will accept these small offerings and help us to use it wisely and to grow your church, to do what you would want us to do. Lord, show us where we come short in giving, and whatever way we give, Lord, be with us and you be the leader. Amen.
Amen. If you notice, it's all about thank you. Our dear brother Keith is going to do the intercession, but I just want to bring your attention to what the Bible tells us, that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and me. Now, he says in 2 Corinthians 12, 2, I will read from 12 onwards. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I say goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. We need to go look where our brother and sister is. But we're not going to say bye-bye. Here it comes. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. He's a lovely fragrance. So we have spread it this morning through our worship and our praise. Amen.
Morning, everybody. Something that came to mind this morning after I'd written my prayer, however, but something that came to mind is that our cricketers today are wearing pink. Now, the reason they're wearing pink is because of cancer. So we, at this stage, we pray for everybody that has cancer, and we pray that our Lord will bring a healing for cancer. Thank you. Holy God and Father of our Lord Jesus, Child of Bethlehem, we thank you for your love and mercy which have brought us to this time of Advent, when we can celebrate your birth with the hope and peace that it brings. However, it is with great sorrow that we read of the deaths on our roads and all the other criminal activities which never end. We see so little of the true Christian peace. At this time, we fervently wish to experience something of your grace, compassion, and peace. May the true Christmas spirit spread all over the world, and may it enrich our own hearts and lives in particular. Please give us the strength to be true messengers of the essence of Christmas, and of peace beyond understanding. Dear Lord, may the true peace of Christmas become a glorious reality in our country and change Christmas for us all into a true Christ feast. We pray this in the name of the Prince of Peace, whose birth we call to mind with thanksgiving. Amen.
I've got a few announcements. On Christmas Day, we are having a lunch here. So if you have not yet, if you're alone and you're not sure where you're eating, would you come and have fellowship with us here? All I ask is that you speak to me beforehand and let me know that you'd like to come. At the moment, I think we're about 22 people that we'll be meeting here on Christmas Day. So our worship service on Christmas is at 8:30. And lunch will be at about... You can start coming from 12:30, and we'll probably eat between 12:30 and 1, once people are here. Let's pray together. Father, as we come, we are mindful that we are here to worship, that we are here to attend to you, to express our gratitude, our thanks, our love, our appreciation. And so, Father, we ask that you would find our worship acceptable, Lord. We worship by singing, by our presence, by giving, by listening, and by being obedient. Heavenly Father, you chose the Virgin Mary to be the mother of our Lord and Savior. And so now, Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your grace, that like her we may accept your holy will. And so, Lord, we ask that you would purify our hearts and our minds, that when your Son Christ comes again in glory, he may find a home prepared for himself. He who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now, we're in the season of Advent. We're on the fourth Sunday. We've dealt with themes of, do you remember? Themes of hope, joy, peace. And this morning we're going to look at love. The fourth Sunday of Advent. And so I want to ask if you would imagine with me a family. A family eagerly preparing. Preparing for the arrival of a family member they haven't seen for a long time. Somebody that's been abroad. Or in another town. Or just hasn't been able to visit for whatever reason. And so what happens is the house is cleaned. Favorite meals are prepared. And everyone eagerly awaits the arrival of the guest or guests. And so I want to remind you that today and Advent is a season of preparation. And it's not just a preparation for Christmas, for Wednesday, but for the actual return of Christ, the second coming. And so today we reflect on the theme of love, which is actually the foundation of our preparation. It's what it's all about. What all this preparation, this hustle and bustle is about. To prepare for the coming of our Lord. And so we'll explore how God's love revealed in Jesus Christ transforms us and can transform us into a community of love that bears witness to his presence. I'd like you to turn with me or look on the screen at 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7 to 21. I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God, on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now if I were to ask you, do you remember the text? It's a long text. But what is it about? You've heard the word love several times. I'm going to focus on the first six verses, verses 7 to 12, and then we look at verse 17 as well. The first thing we need to understand that the author's keen for us to know is that love is from God.
In other words, God is love's source. Love comes from God. All true love flows from God. Without Him, there is no love. Well, some people may disagree with that. You say, well, surely there are people who don't know God and love. They love their children, they love their nation, their neighbors. There are people who are not Christians who love. And there are people who deny God. Surely they also love? Is God really the source of love? Well, this is what the author wants us to understand. And that God is the all love is from God. That God is the source of true love. You see, because there's something that appears to be love, but is not really love. I love you. And if any man comes between us, is that love? I love you, but if you come home pregnant, I'm putting you out. Is that love? Well, we need to ask ourselves, what is love? Because it can appear confusing. When we see people who, in the name of love, commit atrocities because they love. In the name of God, they kill thousands. Do I need to add innocent people? Doesn't make a difference. This is what the text says. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Think about that. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So does that mean that something doesn't sound right to me? Everyone who loves has been born of God. Because many people say they love, but they are clearly not born of God. And so then we have to question, is this true love? And what is love? And how would I know if it is love? Because just we know that just because somebody says something doesn't mean it is like that. Husbands, you can say, well, maybe you've said, I love you before you when you asked to get married. But when last did you tell your wife that you love her? Or wives? When last did you tell your husband he's wonderful? Don't look so surprised. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so John emphasizes that love comes from God because it is his very nature. To love others is to reflect God's character. And so if we were to explain love, it's not about being agreeable. It's not about being nice or turning a blind eye, making as if you don't know or don't see. You see, love has the courage to die. That's not a wishy-washy kind of love, sort of a whatever, let's do what's convenient. I don't want to be in an uncomfortable situation, nor do I want to have uncomfortable conversations. Love has the courage to die. I want you to think of the sun, the source of light and warmth. God is the source of love. Without the sun, light, life would cease. I put it to you that by the Spirit of God, we have a revelation that without God, there is no love. And so we need to ask ourselves, does your love to others reflect your relationship with God? As a church, do we reflect His love to our community? Is there a tangible, is there a witness? I started by saying that God is love's source. But if we were to ask what is real love, we see that God's love is demonstrated, is shown, is made manifest, is revealed in Christ. In fact, Jesus is love in action. If you look at His life, everything about Christ is love in action. God's love is not just words. It's demonstrated through Jesus. It's demonstrated through His life, through His death on the cross, and through His resurrection. Very often people would say, I'm in love. You know, I'm in love with you. Does that mean you can fall out of love? But think of loving.
I love you. I'm committed to you. It's more than love is more than just a feeling. God's love is not just words. And so if we look at the text, we see that this is what it says. This is how God showed his love among us. This is how God demonstrated his love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might have life through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Propitiation. There's God's anger, God's wrath had to be appeased. And so, really? Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes we think of, I don't have that picture of God. I was speaking to someone at Micah, and I was talking to her, and she was saying that, talking about church, and then I invited her, and she said, no, do you have the Bible in your church? I said, yes. Do you preach from the Bible? I said, yes. Do you speak about it? I said, yes. She said, no, then I can't come. I said, why not? She said, well, I don't believe that. Because my culture doesn't, that's not culturally relevant. This is a different, that's not, we have our God. No, I spoke a bit more to her, and she was saying how they meet in Paul somewhere, and that they have fellowship without the Bible, just reflecting on God. Saying that God has always been around. Of course God has always been around. And God reveals himself in all cultures. But we have the privilege and the blessing of having the revelation from God that God sent his Son. And that makes all the difference. That supersedes all other understanding of God. And so very often our understanding of someone or something can be partial. And I believe in this case where those people come together and they worship together, but they don't have a full revelation and understanding of God. We have been made privileged to the revelation of God. God has sent his Son to reveal him, to reveal his nature, his character, that he is love. And also to demonstrate that love. So God's love is not abstract. It's not hypothetical. It's not culture dependent. It's active. It's sacrificial. It's redemptive. It saves. And so Jesus coming into the world and his sacrifice on the cross are the ultimate expression, is the ultimate expression of God's love. As an illustration of Paul, where he, in the New Testament, it speaks of Paul's sacrificial love. Well, he says the words, and I'm going to read it to you. But it speaks about his willingness to sacrifice everything for the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, he says, so I will gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. I will gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. He does add another thing, he's asking them because of the issue at hand there. If I love you more, will you love me less? See, Paul faced hardships. He faced beatings, imprisonment, rejection. But because of his unwavering love for God and the people that he served, he continued. Despite their lack of appreciation or their reciprocation at times, Paul was committed to sharing the gospel, nurturing their faith, interceding for them in prayer. And so Paul's example shows us a love, a commitment, a giving of oneself fully for the sake of others, even when that love is not reciprocated. Because sometimes we can feel, so we're doing all this for, let's call it the community, or for everybody out there, but what do they do? Do they even appreciate it? If we give them, then they've got more money for things that actually take them further down. They got more money to spend on booze and smokes and whatever, drugs. I want you to think about it. You see, for a congregation, this kind of sacrificial love must translate into loving and serving the community around us. And it must translate into doing something selflessly, not to increase members. And not to get more members so we can get more money. Think of the preparation of that family for the loved one who they long to see and have fellowship with. That's what it's about. Preparing for Christ's return. You see, Paul's focus was on the eternal salvation of others. And so that challenges us. It points us or causes us to prioritize our focus on spiritual growth and the mission of spreading God's love. And that can't be done in isolation. It can't be done when you're at home. It's done in community. It's done when you're involved in some way. And so as we reflect on Jesus' love, on his life, I'm hoping that it would inspire gratitude, that it would, as it were, compel us to love sacrificially. And so maybe we can start by asking the question, who in your life needs to experience God's love through you? Who in your life, who in your sphere of influence needs to experience God's love through you? We started this talk by speaking about God being the source of love, that Jesus being love in action. And now, our response to this love. You see, we are love's reflection. Or we should be. God's love reaches others when we love one another as he loves us. This is what the text says. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. In other words, God's love reaches full expression when it flows through his people. And our love for people is evidence of God's presence in our lives. I want you to think of a lamp. I don't want to turn it into your face, but you can see the light here. It's connected to a power source. The lamp doesn't produce light on its own. Look. It must remain connected to shine. We need to remain connected to love. We need to abide in Christ. We need him to abide in us. And his promise is to abide in us. You see, the challenge comes when we do not abide in him. He's always willing and ready, always. That's his promise, to abide in us. We must be connected to God to love others, for the love to come through, for it to shine. And so we need to ask the question of ourselves as a community, how does our congregation, how do we embody God's love? How do we shine? I'm not talking about individuals now, but as a congregation. And maybe we need to ask, what would our community look like if we lived this life? This life of love every day. If we look at verse 17, because now I'm jumping all the others and I've dealt with verses 7 to 12. But verse 17 says, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. I must have read this book, said this several times. And all of a sudden, I said, what? That's it? In this world, we are like Jesus? That's what it says. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. You see, verse 17 connects God's love to our confidence before God. It's the reason we can have confidence before God on the day of judgment. And I want to put it to you that if you do not have confidence concerning the day of judgment, then we need to start questioning, Do I experience God's love? Or is all that awaits for me fearful judgment? And so, if you look at that first part, this is how love is made complete among us. It refers to God's love reaching its goal or maturity when it's lived out amongst believers. I've already pointed out that love is not a feeling, it's active. It's a relational reality that reflects God's love in and through us. And this completeness, the completeness of this love is demonstrated in a life which is aligned with God's will and God's purpose. And so, I would challenge someone that's living a life, that's living his life or her life, apart from God's purpose, whether they really understand and experience God's love. The next part, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Again, this confidence is not rooted in self-righteousness or something that we've done to earn it, but because of the transformative power of God's love. Because believers abide in God and His love abides in them, they are assured of their standing before Him. And that phrase, in this world we are like Jesus, it speaks to our identity, the believer's identity and calling to reflect Jesus' character. Just as Jesus embodied God's love perfectly, believers are to live out His love in the world. And this includes living a life, a selfless life, sacrificially, sacrificial love towards others, just as Christ did. And so when love is perfected, it drives out fear. There's no fear of judgment or punishment. That part, like Jesus, to be like Jesus in this world means that believers live lives, should live lives, marked by humility, forgiveness, and service. And it is as we live in that humility, in that forgiveness, and in that service that we bring or that we bear witness to God and to His kingdom. The fact that His kingdom has come and that we are expecting the fulfillment, the realization, the full realization of that kingdom when Christ returns. I want to ask you, in what ways am I reflecting Jesus to others? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. In what ways am I reflecting Jesus to others? Do I need to forgive? Do I actually need to notice the vulnerable people that are suffering? Do I need to move into uncomfortable situations to share God's love? I've got still much that I've written, but I don't think it's really necessary now. I think if we were to remember that God is love's source, that Jesus is love in action, and that we ought to reflect that love, that's it. Pretty simple. And so I want to ask you, encourage you, call you up to action, as it were, to commit to loving others in practical and sacrificial ways. To ask questions about how we as the church can be a greater witness to God's love. And that we would prepare for Christ's return by living in His love daily. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, you considered it okay to leave your glory behind, to take the form of a man, to become human, not just to identify with us, but to be with us, to dwell with us. Lord, grant that we may experience your love, that we may see and understand it. Lord, I'm not asking that we would feel it, because our feelings I know change, Lord. There's an ebb and flow to feelings which is not sufficient for such a great thing as love. But Lord, when we get your revelation, when we understand it, may we live it, Lord. May we have full confidence in all your promises. Firstly, in your promise to abide in us. And that invitation which is always there for us to abide in you. So Lord, help us to strengthen our resolve, our commitment to you. Lord, I want to pray a special blessing on everyone here today, Lord. I especially think of our visitors here. People that may have entered this building for the very first time. Lord, may they experience your love. May they come into the fullness of your kingdom. Lord, would you bless them? Would you touch their hearts? And Lord, for us, would you help us to be sensitive to the needs of others? Thank you, Lord, that you see each one of us, that you know each one of us intimately, that you have called us by name, and that you are waiting for us to respond to your call. Amen.
Amen. Our last song we will sing together. When we love, everything will be well. Our souls will be well. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, if trial should come, there's this blessed assurance control. Then Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious door, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when our fate shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpet shall sound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Yes.
The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.